Good day, Linkside. Welcome to the first episode of the Linksider, started by the teachers, for the learners and for the parents. We hope to get many of you involved in the future. This is something brand new, never done by any school that we are aware of in South Africa. Don't even know, I haven't come across any other schools that have ever done this. So with something brand new, yes, it will be a lot of work and also come down to the support of you, the Linkside family. What can you expect in the first edition of the Linksider? We will have a chat to the head coach, Jenna Stopforth, regarding her thoughts on the June exam, the Van Heeren class when camping, and meet your rugby coach, Mr. Lex De Vos. Hang around and I hope you enjoy the show. June examinations, a very nerve-wracking time for any matric. They have to use these results to apply to varsities in many cases. We got in touch with our current head girl, Jenna Stopforth, and we asked her how did she experience the examinations, and this is what she had to say.
I'd like to say that this exam was like all the rest, but for matrics all around South Africa, or even the world, it wasn't. This was the exam we needed to apply to universities, the exam that, even more than the others, counted for our future. My goal for this exam was to really work on improving certain subjects like mathematics and science. Those two were definitely the most challenging papers. My weaknesses, actually, these two subjects were the monsters that lurked in dark corners. This exam, I armed myself with preparation and dedication, and I can say that that goal was reached. I was relieved to find that the question papers were fair. All the subjects I wrote had more than enough time for completion. The exam papers were fair in the sense that everything that was asked we did in class and was asked to study.
Thank you, Jenna. I hope your fellow students take that to heart in their preparation for the September exam. Now, one of the most popular things to do at any school for any pupil is to go on a camp, and the Van Heerens went on a little outing down the west coast, and let's catch up with Mr. Van Staden and Buchle and hear what their experiences were on the Van Heeren class camp.
Good morning, sir. What we did was we arrived at Knysna. What time did we arrive? Was it early? Like around 12 o'clock, and we went to the Lian Memorial to go look at one of the biggest trees in Knysna. There was 800 plus or minus 880 years old. And then we went to a few kilometers away from that place, we went to a gold mine, and we were actually hiking for an hour, and then for the day we were done, then we went back to our lodge in the Harkerville Forest Lodge. Yeah. And then we went to the next day, we went to, where did we go? Yeah, the next day after. Oh yeah, we went to George for strawberry picking, and yeah, and we played a game where we had to go through a maze to find different kinds of clues and everything, through a big maze. I think I'll take a picture and send it to you. And then after that, we went to four places, man. What's the fourth place?
The boat.
Yeah, and we went on a boat cruise for an hour or so. Yeah, pretty much it. That's what we did.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but I like the way Obuchle took a natural approach to letting us know how the camp went, and he also made sure that he got some feedback from around the learners around him. Nothing wrong with that. Thank you, Bush. It sounded like you guys had a lot of fun. I was hoping that you would mention that you guys got stuck in the service delivery protest. That probably was very interesting, or maybe boring for many of you, but very interesting in the fact that that's a clear indication of how life can be disrupted due to the protests that we are experiencing at large scales at the moment. Mr. Van Staden, I wonder what he had to say about the camp. Let's find out.
A couple of days away with the grade 12 Van Yerden class on their last high school class camp to Nasna. It was quite an enjoyable camp. We did quite a few things. I'll give you a brief overview of what we did. On the first day when we first arrived there, we went to go and see the Nasna Forest. Sorry, I forgot the name there for a second. The Nasna Forest, where we got to also witness or see one of the big yellowwood trees that we have along our garden route. And I mean, when I say big tree, I'm talking about a beast of a tree. 40 meters tall, about 800, 900 years old. It's not the big tree on the Tsitsikamma Road, but there's actually apparently like four or five of them that we have along the way. Anyway, that was quite a magnificent sight. It was also quite magnificent to see some of those city girls completely out of their element. they were absolutely terrified after the conservationist dude told us that there are leopards and elephants out in that forest. They were absolutely terrified. I don't think they took in any of the beauty of nature. They were just trying to make sure that they weren't going to get eaten or trampled by anything that was out in the forest. On the second day, we had a cruise on the Nasna Lagoon planned, which was quite enjoyable. We nearly actually missed it thanks to wonderful South Africa and their angry people protesting about heaven alone knows what. They decided to go and burn down a truck on the N2, so we got caught up in traffic for about an hour and a half. And some people would think that that was would be terrible, you know, with a bunch of teenagers caught up in the traffic jam like that. But, you know, Linkside being Linkside, our kids made the most of it, put on some live music, danced on the side of the road, had an absolute blast, regardless of the situation. Like I said, thankfully, we didn't miss the cruise. It was quite spectacular to go and ride along on the Nasna Lagoon. After that, we went to go to the Redberry Farm, where we got to pick strawberries as well as wander and get a little bit lost in the largest hedge maze in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, obviously know what a maze is, and it's quite a big maze. It was really, really quite impressive. And my whole life, I've always wanted to go and get lost in a maze. So quite personally to me, that was my biggest highlight, being able to walk through a maze quite simply. Pretty weird dream, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Van Staden. I'm very glad you had fun, and I'm very glad to hear that the Linkside spirit came out, that nothing will get those learners down. They will have fun. It doesn't matter where they are. But a school camp normally brings that out in the learners. You definitely see a more relaxed side from them and from the teachers. We apologize for the poor quality of recording there. Mr. Van Staden has ensured me that in future he will do a more professional job. I'm just teasing Mr. Van Staden. It is our first attempt at the Linksider. I'm sure there will be a lot of growing pains regarding to what platform we should be recording our voice notes and all these things, but that's definitely something that we can look forward to sorting out, because this is a very, very exciting project that we are busy with. Yeah. Moving on. We end off the first episode of the Linksider, and we have a chat to Mr. Lex DeVos. That is the first team rugby coach. He took over as of this year, and it's just been amazing to see how the boys have taken to him, the level of respect they have for him, and the type of rugby they are playing at the moment is absolutely beautiful. And it's all about the attitude this coach has brought to the school. And his starting off point is discipline, being in the police force himself. And we've really been seeing that coming through this year. So let's take a listen to him and find out, where did his passion for rugby start? Mr. DeVos.
Oh, I believe as a young man, growing up in Ellisdale, waking up early in the mornings, watching South Africa playing the All Blacks, the mighty All Blacks in the 80s. With my father, I think that's where my love for rugby started, actually. Then fell in love with Western Province rugby. After that, started my first game for George Oaks Primary School in the 80s, I think 87, 88. 88, 89, at George Oaks in Ellisdale, starting off as a hooker, clearly.
Whoa. We just have to stop here and just repeat that. Coach started off as a hooker. Now, gentlemen, I don't know about you. Okay, the people that don't know what rugby is and don't understand rugby, it's not what you think. Hooker is a position. It's a person that throws a ball into a lineout and they go down right in the middle of the scrum. It's normally the big fellas. And the coach, to me, looks more like a tall, lanky flank or maybe a wing or a center. A hooker, I must be honest, that came as quite a surprise to me.
I remember that day. From there on, went to David Livingston, started playing for David Livingston. Didn't start immediately playing for the school, started to play junior rugby for St. Mark's in PE, where I played under 15s, under 16s, playing at fullback. Then moved to start in standard 8, started to play rugby for David Livingston, immediately into the first team. And I played since standard 8 up to matric in the first team. Then after school, went on to study in Grahamstown.
Well, from that, it is clear that the coach has got a long, rich history of playing rugby. It was a love that was developed from a very young age. You mentioned they fell in love with Western Province rugby. I would love to know what his feelings are regarding Province at the moment, myself being a big Western Province supporter. But we will stand by them, hey coach, through thick and thin. Now coach, I asked you a different type of question before. I'm going to ask him about the obvious things like the boys' commitment and discipline. I asked him, how has he found the teachers to be at Lingside? Are they supportive? Have they acknowledged the efforts that he's made and the difference the boys has made? And this is what the coach had to say regarding the teachers, just so we can get an overall perspective of the coach's experience with the school thus far.
How can I describe my experience at Lingside with the teachers and the learners? At first, I was quite shocked with the amount of support that the teachers gave rugby. First game against Westview, not actually a lot of support for the rugby boys, and then as we gradually starting to win games, I must say that the support became overwhelming for me. Teachers starting to applaud or commend the work being done by the boys. But at the end of the day, you as a coach can just do so much. And I always believe that the hard work is what the learners put in on at training and on the field, and the results will automatically come. But honestly speaking, support from the teachers, very, very good, very well. I'm really happy for the amount of support that I get from the teachers. And I hope in future that we can build a relationship, and yeah, just them starting to come and watch the rugby and support the rugby. Experience from the learner side. The pupils, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I'm not entirely happy with how far we got regarding the boys and discipline, and yeah, but what I can say is that the amount of talent there is huge. It's just for the coaches to start to believe in the boys, and then basically make them to believe in their own talent and abilities. And yeah, so far it's been good. My dream and my plan, objective, goal is to grow rugby at Lingside to extend that we have a pack Wednesday or pack Saturday where learners can come and watch the boys play rugby. So yeah, still we can go on and we can go up from where we are now.
Thank you very much, coach. A couple of things that really stood out there for me was the fact that he said that support was slow in the beginning, but as the season progressed, it has become quite overwhelming for him. I must also admit that I've seen a clear change this year. There's definitely been a shift. I've noticed a lot more support at the rugby games, not just from parents and learners, but also from teachers. I know Miss Ralston and Miss Voges have been in regular attendance. Please, other teachers, if I left out any names, this is just now listening to Mr. DeForce's reply that those two names stand out for me. But it's very important for us to support the school, especially the sport. I myself believe, even though it is quite challenging to always get onto the sport field and to be out there every Saturday is very difficult and time consuming, and it's a sacrifice you have to make away from your family, but it does give you a better perspective of the learners, where they come from. You get to know them on a different level, and also leads to a much better relationship in the building itself. Now, as you could hear, the policeman came out there, and I quote, "I'm not happy with the discipline." So there's something, Rugby Boys, when you're listening to the first edition of the Linksider, please, that's something that to take note of and to work on that. And then the coach mentioned there at the end that these pupils need to believe in their own abilities. He said that the amount of skill and talent that he has noticed at Linkside is just amazing. But it's a big headache for us because the boys have, many of them, there are such talented boys walking in that building, but we just can't get them to a practice. And unfortunately at Linkside, we do have a no practice, no play policy. So please, boys, the only way you can harness those skills and really exploit them to the best of your ability is if you actually get yourself to the training ground. Mr. DeForce, the next question I asked him about his team. Well, how has he experienced his team and the way they've adapted to his coaching style during the year? And this is what the coach had to say.
On the last question regarding the commitment potential, highs and lows, I will start with the commitment. I strongly believe that some of the boys are not giving 100% to rugby. I still believe that there is no real commitment from some of the boys. And if we can work towards finding a solution for the boys to become more active, then I believe then our rugby will grow at Lingside. At this stage, there's boys that's not fully committed. And I think it's because of what happened last year and how they were treated by the rugby coaches. What I can see now is there is boys that is fully committed. And I still believe that the only way we will make sure that all the boys show more commitment is that both myself as the coach and the other coaches, as well as the teachers, put measures in place that boys attend training, because some of them just ignore training or don't come to training and then expect to play on a Thursday, on a Wednesday and on a Saturday. I think we need to install some sort of a pride in the Lingside jersey, and then yeah, just try to push them in a more positive.
Coach, I must be honest, at times there you sound like a teacher, because we are always complaining about commitment, whether in the classroom or on the sporting field. And there the coach said it, not all the boys are committed, they're not all playing their part. He did mention there that some of the lack of commitment might be as a result of the poor rugby season we had in 2017. And I'll just put it out there. He did mention the coach. I didn't edit that. I would actually love to hear from our old coach. And if the coach does end up listening to this podcast, please get in touch with me. If you feel that you would like to defend those words, then we will definitely give you a platform. So the coach feels that there is a lack of commitment. And he just mentioned what I said in my previous little comment on his previous section that the boys don't come to practice and then they sometimes even pitch up on game day. They come to the field in their uniform. For me, part of the problem is that we don't have enough depth. And what I mean when I say that is if we had a first team and a second team, which we should have, according to the number of boys that I have on paper that can play rugby or that has ever played rugby for Linkside, we should have about a fully fledged first and second team with reserves. But now, because we don't have that depth at the practices, you end up with a squad of 17 players and you need at least 22 to successfully be competitive on a weekend. Many of these boys know they can get away with it. That's quite sad. But for the most part, we keep them on the bench and we only need to use them if we need them. But we would really like the boys to get committed because, as you can hear, you've got a coach that really wants to take the school to the next levels. We end off the first episode of The Linksider by listening to Coach and what he has to say about some of his highlights and some of his most depressing days next to the rugby field.
On my highlights, so far, I would say definitely the game against Belgium. We got a beating. We got a proper beating. We got taught a proper rugby lesson. But what came out for me is the character. The boy said, the character not to stop fighting, the character not in stop trying, the character to play for each other, to support each other. And yeah, that for me was the highlight. One of our toughest games so far, but how the boys stood up, how the boys stand back 1 inch or 1 yard for the boys of Belgium. Really made me proud to be associated with them and to be their coach. For me, that is the highlight. And then a low. Let me just mention another highlight. The highlight for me was the game against Lawson Brown, where we an altercation basically ensued, a fighting broke out. And then after the game, I punished them for about 20 minutes. And to me, for them to just keep quiet and took the punishment as men and as a team, that for me was a highlight. And that to me was an indication that we have grown closer together. We had grown as a team.
Coach, I'll be honest, that first highlight of yours is a very interesting highlight to choose, that you would mention the Belgium game. For the listeners, I would just mention this, that Belgium is fourth in the country. Yes, I said it, they are the fourth best rugby playing high school in the country. We played against them and we lost. Yes, boys, I'm going to say the score here. We lost 83-0. That is a hiding of note in rugby, but what coach mentioned there, I also did notice that on the day, is that boys never stopped. They just never stopped tackling. Okay, I know you would think in the score of 83 now. How much? Trust me, they did a lot of tackling. Those Belgium boys kept on coming. They kept on coming. But the second one, which is a low light, it's a very negative. The fight that broke out against Lawson Brown is a big negative, but many people don't know this. Everyone knows about the fight, and it was very embarrassing for the school, but not many people know that after the game, our coach kept those boys and he made them do fitness after the rugby game for 20 to 30 minutes. And I stood there and watched, and not one boy complained. Not one boy took their bag and walked away. They could have. They did it, and that is a sign of a team. So that definitely was a big negative, the fight, but ended up being a massive positive to see the camaraderie amongst the team. That brings us to an end of the first episode of The Linksider. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any ideas of content that could be relevant, that could make this an interesting segment, we really hope to get as many learners and teachers and parents involved in this as possible, and we hope to grow this as the first high school podcast in the country. Take life seriously, but don't forget to have some fun.